Good morning. Today's parashah is entitled Lech Lecha, meaning get going or go forth. And it covers Genesis 12:1 through 17:27. Within these chapters, God calls Abram to leave his country and his people. Abram obediently sets out, journeys to and throughout the land of Canaan, migrates for a time to Egypt, returns to Canaan, battles four kings, fathers a child, undergoes circumcision, and receives a name change. Due to the vast amounts of information and the number of significant events, I will be singling out a few areas I felt calling to. Abram was 75 years old when God called him to leave Ur of the Chaldeans. I don't know about you, but if God had called me, as a childless man, to be a father, and that I would be the origin of a people too numerous to count, I would have thought he meant an adopted child. I would have thought, really? Me? An old man advanced in years? Is this a joke? God calling Abram proved to show many over the centuries that God will call who he will, when he will. And at times, he uses some of the most or the least likely people to accomplish his purposes. Also, God calls us in his time when we are ready to be called, not before and not after. Sometimes we in our finite thinking call out to God in desperation saying, why is not God, or why is God not calling me? Why is God not speaking to me? God doesn't use those who are ill-equipped or ill-prepared. He himself equips us and calls us when we have matured and are ready for the journey he has set before us. When Abram set out on his journey, he left from Haran in what is now southern Turkey, where his father Terah had settled the family near the end of his life. They had already departed from Ur several years earlier, intending to go to Canaan, but never made it that far. After arriving in Canaan, Abram journeyed throughout the land, setting up altars to the Lord. After spending some time there, he traveled to the Negev, and from the Negev to Egypt due to a drought in the region. Abram was once again dealing with something that most of us would find silly at his age. He fears for his life due to the beauty of his wife Sarai. The name Sarai means princess, and many scholars attribute Pharaoh's desire to marry her to her status. Perhaps it was the manner of her dress or the way she carried herself that helped Pharaoh's scholars see her and attribute this to her. Pharaoh marrying a daughter of royalty would increase his influence. Abram requested Sarai to keep her relationship hidden and to say she was his sister instead. Sarai's beauty was quickly noticed, as Abram foresaw would happen, and she was taken into Pharaoh's palace. God inflicted various diseases on the household of Pharaoh. Realizing something had happened, Pharaoh summoned Abram and quickly got the truth out of him. Then Pharaoh sent Abram and his family and Lot, all with all their possessions, on their way. In chapter 13, Abram and Lot and their families, they arrive back in the land, but they quickly learn that their flocks are too large to stay together. Abram gives Lot the first choice of the land. On account of its beauty, Lot chose the area near Sodom. Lot chose this because of its outward beauty. But later, God instructs Abram to go and walk throughout the length and breadth of the land to see it and to know that it will eventually belong to his descendants. God's direction was timely, as King Chedorlaomer and three of his vassal kings were on their way to reassert their dominance in this region. Choices have consequences. Abram, by remaining in Hebron, was well out of harm's way, and Lot, by choosing to dwell in Sodom, was right in the path of King Chedorlaomer. Lot and his family were taken captive, and the kings set up camp near Dan. Abram, along with 318 trained men that were born in his house, goes in pursuit and finds them there near Dan. Abram divides his forces and defeats the armies of Chedorlaomer and chases the remaining forces north of Damascus. After Abram returns from defeating them, that confederation of kings, the king of Sodom and King Melchizedek, come out to meet him there in the king's valley, or Sheva. Melchizedek brings with him bread and wine, as he was a priest of God Most High. Abram in turn gives King Melchizedek a tenth of all that he had after King Melchizedek had blessed him and praised the Lord. The king of Sodom, however, offers him the spoils of war, all the finances that he could have had. But Abram wanted nothing to do with that wicked king of Sodom, for he had already made a vow that he would keep nothing of those riches that he offered him. After this, the word of the Lord comes to Abram in a vision, reassuring and reasserting his promise to protect him and to multiply his offspring. After a short conversation, Abram wants reassurance from Adonai and asks him how he might be certain that he will gain possession of the land. The Lord replies by offering to make a covenant with him. After Abram had become tired and fallen asleep, Adonai came to Abram in a dream, informing him that his descendants will be enslaved for 400 years and that he, the Lord, will punish those who enslaved us. Then after that, we would be set free and come to inherit the land. Now after the sun had set and it became dark, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared there, and they passed between the sacrifices that Abram had prepared. God made a covenant in that land would be our inheritance. Sarai, meanwhile, having become tired of waiting on the Lord's promises for a son, took matters into her own hands, telling Abram that he should lay with her maidservant and that she would give them a son. Abram, for some unknown reason, agreed to this plan. Sarah's maidservant did indeed, Hagar, she did indeed give them a child. And they named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when he was born. In chapter 18, Abram, now 99 years old, has a visit from the Lord, who reaffirms that he will have a son and changes Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. God reveals that their name of their future son is Yitzhak, meaning laughter, and tells them that in about a year they will have a child. Adonai instructs Abraham that in order to reaffirm this covenant, he and every male in his household are to be circumcised. God also requires that on the eighth day after birth, every Israeli boy is to be circumcised as a sign of this everlasting covenant, so that very day Abram circumcised every male in his camp, including himself and Ishmael. Let me share a few closing thoughts. God often uses improbable people. He used Abram, a man advanced in years, to show the world that he is a mighty God. He waited until exactly the right moment to summon Abraham to his service. He waited until he was molded and prepared for that call. God used Abram to show the king of Egypt that he has the power to inflict disease and to heal. God used Abram to show the people of Canaan that those who follow the one true God of Abraham can defeat powerful kings. He is a God who keeps his promises. If you've ever felt insignificant and not being used by God, or if you've ever thought that he could never use you, just think back on the life of Abraham. He and Sarah waited many years for the birth of Isaac and had trusted that God would fulfill the rest of his promise. We have to remember that God does not do things according to his timetable, not on ours. He promised Abraham an heir. In Abraham and Sarah's impatience, they took matters into their own hands, not only causing unneeded drama in their relationship, but also created a separate people group. Our choices really do have consequences. 2 Peter 3:8-9 states, But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. But he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May all of us look back on the life and example of Abraham and see how important it is to have patience and to trust in the Lord. Thank you.